CliffCentral.com.
Look who's here. It's George Meany. It's time for our final Friday update, which is always the nicest thing because it means your Friday begins when George comes in.
How's it, Gareth?
How are you?
Leanne and Sia. Good.
Good.
Very good.
Do you think also it would be challenging to set Sia and Leanne up on a first date? Be honest, George. You don't have to
I feel very sorry for anyone who... up with me.
Are you kidding? You would be hilarious. I would love to go on a first date with you if I didn't know you. Because you have stories, you'd be hilarious.
I think Sia, yes. Leanne would be challenging, but once in the date, I think not so challenging.
Also, I have to draw a line of how much I reveal on a first date.
But first of all, confidence is 90% of it. Right, George?
Yes, confidence is 90% of it, but that's why the initial date will be hard. But once you're in it, I think it'll be fun.
Okay, so Leanne and Sia and Gugu, there's lots of confidence, so that's not a problem. But then... the more you share and the more you kind of know about each other during that first date, the better you feel at the end of it. Even if you haven't felt an attraction to each other, if you're sharing stuff, that's what makes humans connect. You'll get up and you'll go, wow, that was amazing.
We have to we'd have to do it together so I could go on smoke breaks and we could koch and giggle.
Let's double date.
I think it would be funny.
That would be
I think we should get you guys on. Yeah, you double date. You sit at tables... like at opposite the ends of the restaurant, otherwise you're going to be looking at each other the whole time.
It would be too hilarious. Telling. I know Leanne's eye rolls now when she purses her lips. It would mean too much. I would know exactly what's going
whether
on with that
good
date.
Or bad.
Yeah.
All right. So, George, what's happening in the world of motoring?
The world's first urban air taxi has taken flight in Singapore.
I've been waiting
Gareth,
for this.
It's your dream.
This is what I've been waiting
Gareth,
for.
Off to Singapore. Have you booked your flight? Because German air mobility startup Volocopter debuted its urban taxi prototype in Singapore on Tuesday, amid hopes that the city-state will become the first country to allow the commercial launch of its services, possibly towards early 2021 or late 2020. So the Volocopter taxi took off from Marina Bay, located near the central business district, and took flight for about a minute and then landed with its 18 propellers still spinning.
Fantastic.
A minute, but it probably went 20 Ks in distance.
Exactly.
Well, here's a question before we move on with any of these. Gugu, I'm going to need you in here as well for this one. George and Gugu is a question that has to do with buying and selling a car. Tato wants to know, is the ideal time of year to buy a car? I'm assuming not November, December because of the consumer craze. I'm looking for a new small hatchback, something like a VW 1.6 Highline or any other suggestions that you two might have. Guys, do you want to take care of this one?
I would say if it's a car low in demand, so a low demand car, which is not a Polo Vivo, not a BMW, not a Mercedes.
Not a Toyota.
Not a Toyota.
Not a Toyota. So a low demand car, then first quarter of the year is probably the best time because the prices would have just declined. If it's a high demand car, anything's possible. The prices may actually go up when you move from December to January. So you've got to watch the prices carefully and, when it's a high demand car like a Polo Vivo, you've got to almost look at it like a stock market. Buy when the price goes down.
I'd also say buy before the newer model is launched. So if they're launching the new Polo, they're trying to get rid of stock just before they launch the new one. So they drop the prices. So that, for me, is also an ideal time to buy.
When it comes to new car, absolutely right. When there's an imminent launch, usually there's massive specials on the current model.
Look at how helpful it is for you two to be here this morning when Tato needs advice on his car. All right, fantastic.
Welcome, Tato.
There we go. Okay, what else, George?
Electric vehicles are part of their drivers becoming a green environment or trying to drive the environmentally friendly, non-carbon world. And in Japan, the Ministry of the Environment believes that this new wooden car...
A wooden car.
Ooh. So they've made a car entirely out of fiber. Mm-hmm. Apparently it is 5 times lighter than steel, but 5 times stronger.
I believe that. They are
developing... Sure, you don't want to drive over the Huguenot Bridge with that.
Whoa. It could float, surely.
The problem is the wind there.
Oh, right.
It blows over trucks.
Yeah, you need to kind of be a bit heavier. Yeah. But I think that sounds good, right? Yeah. If it's much stronger and it's much lighter, that that has fuel ramifications, all kinds of things.
And so this whole drive is making manufacturing green. So we've made the cars green, you know, in terms of electric, but the manufacturing process is still not green. And making cars out of fiber makes the manufacturing process green.
I hate
green.
To be the Grinch, but what about flammability?
Mm.
Well, I'm pretty sure they could add things that make it.
Suppose if they coated in some retardant. Yeah.
Yeah, remember also that your steel car or your aluminium frame car, the stuff that burns isn't the frame. Mm. It's all that soft stuff. Mm. Yeah, the upholstery, the dashboard, that stuff. You're very flammable.
Why? Spontaneous combustion in some of us.
All right.
And then an update on the Bloodhound. So the Bloodhound started its tests officially. They battled to get the jet engine started, but eventually turned the Bloodhound into the wind, and that little bit of forced induction through the blades of the jet engine got them to start it, because apparently it had been in storage for quite a while.
Right.
And on the vehicle's first run, they limited it to 160 kilometers an hour. Remember, the Bloodhound is at the Huxkian Pun in Northern Cape. And this was purely to check the brakes and wheels and the stability of the car. The second outing doubled that speed using maximum what they call power without extra fuel for reheat in this jet engine, followed by a coast down to measure the rolling resistance. And then the third run saw the team using the full reheat capabilities of the jet engine and reached 483 kilometers per hour in 13 seconds.
That's amazing.
That's fast.
I was watching old car adverts on YouTube, and I've seen most of them before, but the one that made me think about this was a BMW ad where they had one of these sound-breaking fast vehicles on sand, and there was obviously a camera next to the vehicle filming it, and when it comes to a stop, the guy gets out of his BMW with the camera, and he's the one who's been keeping up to it next to it.
I think I know which ad you're talking about. Yeah. It's a very well made ad. You don't kind of see it coming unless you watch to the end. But I'm looking forward to seeing the Bloodhound reach 1,600 kilometers an hour.
Mm.
Sure. So testing continues.
Yeah, and as I said last time, if there's one little stone that they find on that track, on that pan, then it can be devastating.
Yes.
So they have people who are actually going there with like a little rake or a little broom.
Like for those mini Zen gardens.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. And they actually have to remove every little rock and stone. Phenomenal.
Apparently 22 million square kilometers or something that they removed stones from that Huxkian.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then I've been driving the BMW i3 electric car for the last week, and sadly I have to give it back today.
You love it, huh?
Oh.
Fun, right?
I tell you, Gareth, I didn't think I would love this car as much as I have.
Really?
And the top feature for me is the immediate power.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Absolute immediate power.
You don't even have to use the brake that much.
Yes.
You just know how to use the accelerator, and you can slow down and speed up when you need to. It's amazing that you never need to fill up with fuel.
Well,
did you charge every day? How did you do it?
So I got it last Friday, and then initially I was nervous because I didn't know how quickly this it's got the battery percentage like your phone, and then it's got the range that you can travel. So I drove it over the weekend, and then Sunday night I charged it. And I charged it full, and I went to work on Monday morning, and I thought, well, what I'll do is I'll see how far I can push the car before I start getting nervous. And I got, as a matter of fact, yesterday morning, I got to 80-kilometer range left at about 30% battery. And at that point, I was like, no, I'm somewhere in the back of my mind, Gareth said to me, don't go to 10%.
No, I got down to 10% one day, and then I started getting a little bit nervous.
I was getting nervous at 30, so you do get that anxiety too.
Man, the idea of never having to go to a petrol station. I had to fill up yesterday, and you watch your money just being burnt. Mm,
that's so true. That's so true. Anyway. So BMW i3, I think maybe because I've driven it, best electric car in the country so far. I want to get my hands on the iPace next.
I'm with you. All right, everybody. That's all we got time for this morning. Thank you for joining us. We will catch you on Monday morning, 6 a.m., bright and early. It's November, and it's Friday. Have an excellent weekend. CliffCentral.com